shared about a demon-possessed man who met with Jesus for the first time and was set free. You know, the funny thing about this story is that the man was possessed for so long and tied with spiritual bondage that he couldn't do anything about it but wound himself, hurt himself, and no one was able to do anything for him. Matter of fact, others tried to add more bondage to him, right, Pastor Mike? Until the second he met with who? With Jesus. And the second he met with Jesus, he was what? Set free. And when Pastor Mike was sharing that, I was in the back doing security, and I'm like, Lord, I need this kind of freedom. I need to be, like, to leave this place today. I know that I have a lot of bondage in my heart. I know a lot of things in my heart that are weighing me down, keeping me down, a lot of shackles that are keeping me from speeding, a lot of things, you know, in my spiritual life. I need you to set me free. You know? And then this part of the Word of God came to my mind right away. And I've been studying myself as I was studying this Word of God. Because if you noticed in the beginning, you know, in verse 31, it says, Jesus said to the people who believed in him. Okay? We're not talking about a demon-possessed man anymore. We're not talking about who's never met Jesus. We're not talking about someone who's far from Jesus. We are talking to you and to me. We're talking to the church people. We're talking to the churchgoers. We're talking to the people who came up one day and said, Lord, accept my life. I give it all to you. I'm talking to the people, or we're talking to the people too, that made a commitment to God, and yet they still have shackles on their lives. Can that happen? Absolutely can happen. Jesus will take you the way you are. Amen? But that's not the full truth. The full truth is, he's not going to keep you the way you are. He's going to keep working on you. He's going to keep, you know, bugging you. He's going to keep doing things. He's going to keep sending things until he sees you the way he designed you, a masterpiece. Because when God looks at you and looks at me, he sees a masterpiece. I know you don't see it, and I definitely don't see it in myself, you know, but God sees it. And God has the patience. God has the ability. God has the clever hands that can do that, you know. So when he takes us, he accepts us the way we are, but he will never leave us the way we are. Amen? And that's because he loves us. That's because he cares for us. That's because he sees something in us that exceeds all of our expectations, exceeds our very limited ability of seeing who we are in him. A lot of you, if you studied history, you know that President Abraham Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation. You know what that is? Yeah. After many years of civil war, after so many dead people, thousands and thousands of dead people, they issued that report, or they issued that order on January 1st, 1863. Okay? Right? And that issue said that all slaves are what? Are free. All slaves are free. You are no longer a slave. There is no such a thing in the United States of America that says that you can be owned or you can be a slave. However, some people did not get the news. Some people did not hear the good report. Some people for 2.5 years were living as slaves, even though the order, the presidential order, was given that you are no longer a slave. That bothers me. That really bothers me, that you are living as a slave, even though a presidential order from the highest office in land says you are free. Until June 19th of 1865, okay? 20,000 or 2,000 troops, Union troops, found out that there are people in Texas still living in what? In bondage. And they said, no more to this. You are free. Do you hear me? You are free. My agenda today, two things. I have two things on my agenda. Number one, for you to believe and to know that you are set free. Amen? Number two, that we are going to have 2,000 troops from this place that will go out and tell people that you are what? That you are free. That today will be a spiritual Juneteenth experience for every single one of us. I am not giving up that hope. Let me just tell you, we're not leaving this place until you and I are free and you and I are part of those troops that are going to go out to liberate people, because salvation was completely free and given and paid for by the blood of Jesus. Amen? But liberation, that's that what we're talking about today. It will take you and it will take me, it will take every single one of us to join the army of believers to go and liberate people. Amen? Are you guys ready? Okay. Woo! I need to cool down. Many Christians still living in that bondage. So, here we are. It says, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I'm talking to the Lord, the Word of God here. It's to you and me as believers to liberate us. So before we join an army, we ourselves have to be liberated. So number one, I want you to know, Jesus is not calling you to be a cheerleader. Okay? If you want to be a cheerleader, want to get one of those skirts, fine. That's on you. That's not on me. But what we teach in this church is that Jesus is not calling you to be a cheerleader. Jesus is not calling you to be in the stands clapping and, you know, encouraging the pastor or Delia or all these people while they're serving. That's not what you're called for. You might not be called to be a pastor. You might not be called to be a missionary, but you are called to be a disciple. That's the first thing that you need to know about your life that will liberate you from where you are, from that moment of salvation that you've been stuck in this moment for years and years. Number one, you need to know that you are called to be a disciple, not someone who's watching from the stands, not a cheerleader, like, you know, doing all these things. You are called to be a disciple. What did Jesus say in Matthew 28:19 when he was going up to heaven? He looked at his disciples and he said, therefore, are you guys ready? Go and make watchers of the gospel. Go and make Christians. Go and fill the churches with people who will come one Sunday after another, one Tuesday after another. Go and make cheerleaders. No, he said, go and make disciples. Go and make people who are not just going to listen to the word, but they're going to listen to the word, they're going to study the word, and they're going to preach the word. People who are going to be doers of the word. People who, before they do anything in their life, they would say, what would Jesus do? How would my Lord and Savior would do this? People who are walking with him day after day, they see how he looks at the poor. They see how he looks at sin. How he looks at sinners. They see what he is doing. That's what a disciple is. Someone who surrendered their life to Jesus and doing and copying whatever he is doing. That's what a disciple is. That's what Jesus is doing. You are not called to be on the sideline. You are called to be on the field looking at the plans, and, you know, as the quarterback is calling the play, you know exactly where everyone is going, and you're ready to catch, or you're ready to play defense. Whatever your role is from the God has given you, whatever gift you have, you are in the game and ready to go. That's what a disciple is. You're not called to be on the sideline. We have so many Christians right now, or so many Christians, even myself, where I feel like, Lord, this season, I like to be out. But we're 10. We need one more. We need one more, because if you don't go out there and defend, your position is going to be open and they might score on us. But we are 10. We need someone to be leading the midfield or leading the attack. I'm talking soccer. You know, we need someone to help us with this game plan. I'm like, the clock is running. The game is about to be over. And let me tell you, the game is about to be over. And we need someone. We need the full team to be on the floor. A disciple is someone who picks up the cross and follows Jesus daily. May we be liberated from the breaks we take. May we be liberated from the deep sleep we fall in. May we be liberated from that when we're not advancing the kingdom of heaven, we're actually advancing the kingdom of darkness. There is no in between. When you're sitting on the sideline, when you're supposed to be on the field, you're giving the other team the chance to win. A disciple is someone who would say with Paul that I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live is in the body. I do live it in the body. I know I recognize that. I see that. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Someone who is completely, completely disconnected from who they are and just filling their lives with who God is. Amen? So your number one calling to be liberated, know that you're a disciple, and there is no way around it. This was not you. We often confuse disciples and apostles. No, you're not an apostle. I'm going to tell you this right now. Okay? You're a disciple, though. You're a disciple of Christ. And every Christian is called to be a disciple. Amen? The second thing we want to talk about today to be liberated is you've got to remain faithful to my teaching. Remain faithful to my teaching. The word remain means it's a continuous action. Okay? This is not just going to happen the day you give your life to Christ or just, you know, going to a Wednesday night meeting or going to a Tuesday night meeting or Sunday. No, this is that you are remaining in the Word of God, that you and the Word of God are becoming one. If you remain in my, if you remain faithful to my teaching, if you want to produce fruit out of your life, in John 15:4 it says, "Remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me." I want you to imagine an orange tree that's full of branches, and each branch full of oranges, right? Beautiful sight, right? Whatever fruit you like. Let's cut that branch, the whole branch, and put it just about 2 inches away from the tree. Will that branch ever bring fruit again? What if we put it 2 feet away? Would that bring fruit? What if we cut it from the tree, but just like tape it somehow to the tree? Would that ever happen? Would that ever work? We must remain in God. If you want to bring fruit, if you want the same life that Jesus had, you know, Jesus was walking around, it says, read the Gospels. I never stop reading the Gospels, by the way. I could be studying Isaiah, could be studying any other book, but every single day, I make sure that I read a part of the gospel. Because I want to see how Jesus lived. I want to see what he was doing. I don't want anything to distract me from how he lived. Because the way he lived, he was so free. He was so free from what people say, from how people measured his success. He was so free from it all. He was so, so confident in who he is and what he was doing. So, if you want that fruit, remain faithful to the Word of God, not only to bring fruit, but to remain safe and solid against all the storms in life. Because does this life have storms coming your way? Oh boy. Anyone here hasn't had a storm in life? Wow, you guys are having a great life. Not one person raised their hand. Tell me your secret, please, because I want that life. Should I ask that question again? Okay. Anyone here never had a storm in their lives? This side hasn't had a storm yet. So, because the storm is coming, and the storm will always come, Matthew 7:24 says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a solid rock." We all know the difference between the one who built his house on a solid rock and the one who built his house on a what? And a sand. And when the storm came, which house was able to stand the storm? The one who's on the solid rock. If you want safety, if you want your life to be set on solid ground, that doesn't mean the storm is not going to come. It's going to come. Okay? Just letting you know. It's not my words, it's Jesus' words. You have a problem, take it up with him. The storm is going to come, but you're going to be safe because you remained in the truth. This was not an occasional thing. This is not like every couple of days. No, you remain in the truth. You remain faithful to the teaching of God. Not the ones that you like and the ones that are not making you comfortable, you just let them go. No, we're talking about remaining faithful to every word of God. The ones that make sense to you and the ones you don't understand yet, he said that you will understand later. The ones that are comfortable and like, yeah, Jesus is on my side, Jesus loves me, he died on the cross for me, and the one that tells you, you must cast down all the idols in your life. That's remaining faithful to the teaching of God. If you want liberation today, get in the Word of God. Because the truth will set you free. It says that you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Here's the thing. There is an absolute truth. I know all you going to college or have been to college. I know every single professor that you've had probably told you otherwise. They told you that there is no such thing as absolute truth, but that's why they're professors. You know, that's what they do. Okay? There is an absolute truth. And here's the good news. This truth is knowable. You can actually know this truth. You can actually grab it. It can actually be in you. It can live in you and through you if you know the Son of God. He is the one that said, I am the way, the truth, and life. So if you want to know the truth that God is ready to reveal to you and to me this morning, the truth that God wants to reveal to you for the rest of your life, you've got to who? Follow who? You've got to follow God. There is such a thing. The truth that doesn't change for any reason, that's solid, no matter how many years it was written, it's still the same truth. It's still in the same place. It does not change. You probably heard this story about the captain of the ship back in the days before all the high-tech stuff, before the GPS, before all the great things that they have right now. The captain of the ship is about to land, or dock, whatever they call it, and he sees a light coming his way. So he gets on the microphone or the radio and says, this is Captain Al Bascarone. I am asking you to go through... That wasn't his name. So I am asking you to go 3 knots to the left. The other captain replies, welcome, Captain so-and-so. I am sorry, we cannot move. You probably need to move 3 knots to the right or to the left. The guy interrupted him and telling him, I am Captain so-and-so of the United States Army ordering you to move to the right or to the left, to move 3 knots to the left. And the guy goes, sir, if you would just let me explain. And he was like, there is nothing to explain. If you don't move to the left, I am shooting you down. And he goes, sir, we're the lighthouse. We cannot move. A lot of us want the Word of God to move. We get on the mic and we say, Lord, move. Because we want him to move, not us to move. He's not going anywhere. The Word of God is not going anywhere. It has been well written. It has been well calculated. It's been well seen, because the one who wrote it, he knew exactly what to write and when and where and to who. He is not going to move. So I suggest, before you crash, that you move to see what the word of God is telling you. There is a more to this. There's a lot more to this, but I think I'm running out of time. Yesterday, okay, Dalia said, don't worry about it. Okay, great. So yesterday, I went to play pickup ball with Elijah, and the second we got there, these two guys were fighting. So they both agree that the call was arguing. They agree that the call was a foul, okay? But one of them said, well, it doesn't matter that it was a foul because it was never called a foul. The guy was like, that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about right now, that it was a foul. And he goes, that doesn't matter. I agree with you that it was a foul, but that's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about, that it was never called a foul, therefore it's not a foul. Right? So they keep arguing. So one of them, the guy who's like, it doesn't matter what it is, here. So he Googled it, and he goes, here it is from the NBA site. Okay, it says that this was a foul. I don't care if it was called or not. The truth is, it is a foul. If someone is going up with the basketball and you hit their arms or whatever, it is a call. Whether the ref saw it or not, whether someone called it or not, it is a foul. The truth sometimes has, you know, the facts that we see sometimes doesn't usually communicate the truth. 17 years ago, 16 years ago, I hurt my knee playing basketball, and we go to the doctor who smelled like smoke, smelled like alcohol, and seriously, I'm not kidding. And he looks at my knee and he goes, oh, that looks like a sprain. So my knee was like this big, right? Every color that's in the color gallery was in my knee, like it was bruised, it was horrible. And he goes, oh, just a sprain. And I looked at him and I said, it's not a sprain. I've had many sprains. I have sprained every part of my body before. That's not a sprain. And he goes, no, it's a sprain. I can see it. I can see that it's a sprain. He never bothered to do, MRI or a scan to see what actually happened inside my knee. What was obvious to him is what he went with. A lot of times we do that. We see what's obvious to us and stick with it. Instead of searching and digging deep to see if this is the truth or not. Because let me tell you, if he did his job, I wouldn't have the kind of knee that I have right now. I did surgery and all of that, but there was permanent damage that was caused to my knee that can never be fixed. Never be fixed. I was walking around for about 8 to 10 weeks on a knee that has no ligaments at all, so the bones are rubbing against each other, the tendons are gone, there is damage that can never be fixed again. Because he did not bother to look deeper into the issue. You and I, a lot of times, we just look at the facts from the outside and never bother to look at the source. Never bother to look at the deeper meaning or the deeper issues. And that's why we're not liberated. That's why we're not receiving the healing that we should receive. That's why I am walking with a limp till this day. That's why my other leg was completely destroyed because I'm putting all that. So you get the point. We need to find the truth that God, that Jesus promised. It is knowable, that Jesus promised that we can see it. And when we see it, it will do what to us? It will set us free. The truth will set you free. This is when the written word that you're learning, the written word that we're reading, the written word that we're preaching or speaking becomes a living word in your life. You know, I've given you that example before. You know Jonah, the prophet Jonah, like back in the days, you know, God gave him a job to do. Okay, he said, "Hey Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh to preach the gospel to these people." So Jonah does not like the Ninevites. And he decided to do what? To escape, to go somewhere else, right? He gets in the ship. You guys know the story, the ship, the storms, and the whale, all of that. So, but before he's thrown down from the ship, they ask him, Jonah, what is happening? He goes, I am running away from the God, the creator of heaven and seas, the creator of earth and seas, the one who created everything. You're running away from who? From God. Who's God? The one who created everything. So God told him to go to land to preach to Nineveh. Okay? And then he decided to go to the sea to a different city. But he believes and he knows that God is the one who created what? Everything. Okay? So let's say that we're playing hide and seek right now. And, you know, here I am. And you're saying that I'm going to hide, but you're going to hide right here. Does that make sense? That sounds like craziness, right? Because I can see you. So this, he knows it. He knows that God creates everything. He knows that God can see everything, but it has not lived in him yet. It has not really, you know, he's not convinced yet that God is the creator. So when we're faithful to the word, this is the next step, is the word becomes part of us. This word here, the truth will set you free. The word used for free here, it means free from prison, like jail, actual prison jail, you know? So if you are prisoned, if you are jailed by something, the truth will set you free. Amen? It also means it's free of illness. If you are under some kind of bondage, if you are some kind of health or psychological or mental, please find help. But the word also can set you free. One of the times that Jesus healed someone on the Sabbath, they were like, "What are you doing healing on the Sabbath?" Jesus goes, "A daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years." Watch the 18 long years. Because every day as she is in pain, guess who else was in pain? Her father. Her Lord and Savior was also in pain. Be set free on the Sabbath from what bound her. So let me tell you today, God, the Word of God, is also able to set you free from any physical or mental or psychological bondage. Also, free here, it means free from danger. Though an army besiege me. Who said that? Psalm 27, go back home and read it. Though an army might besiege me, my heart will not fear. The war breaks out against me, even then I will be confident. Why? There is danger coming your way. Because I can see the Lord. Because I am free from any fear or any worry. But that's an army coming against you. I am free. I am free. Can you say this? I am free. I am free. Free from captivity. Look at the story of the Israelites when they were captive in Egypt or captive in Babylon. They had no one to help them. And then God came and delivered them. Knowing what the truth will grant you today. Knowing what this truth will grant you. Wouldn't you go after the truth? Wouldn't you stay faithful to the truth? Because I know every single one of us here is dealing with one of those things. Whether it's health issues, psychological issues, sin, whatever it is that you are dealing with today, the truth can set you free. Amen? So here is the response, and I'm almost there. Okay, here is the response. And I want you and me to examine our hearts. So Jesus is telling them, from now on, you're a disciple. Okay? You're not here to just be on the sideline. You're not here to be a cheerleader. You are a disciple. And I want you to know the truth. The truth will set you free. I want you to remain in my word. Are we good? We're clear? Great. So here's what they said. But we are the descendants of Abraham, they said. That's verse 33. What does that mean? I'm telling you, I want you to be a disciple. I'm telling you, there is truth, and I want you to know it. I'm telling you, remain with me. Remain connected with me. And you respond is, we are the descendants of Abraham? What does that mean to you and to me? See, every Jewish person, that was their pride and, you know, prized position. Is that a word? You know, that was their thing. We are the descendants of Abraham. We are better than all. We have enough. You know, we have been given enough that we don't need anything extra. You know, the way I am right now is good enough. They're going to Abraham. Like, you know, if you know anything about the Bible, Abraham is a big deal in the Bible. But here's the thing. God does that, just like he's not interested in cheerleaders. God doesn't have grandchildren. Some of us here will have grandchildren soon. He's not even looking. You know, God doesn't have grandchildren. So when you want a relationship with God, it's not going to be based on your father or family or the church you're in. It's not going to be based on the culture you're coming from. It's not going to be based on that. It's going to be based on a personal a personal and intentional relationship with God Himself. It's not going to be through Abraham. It's not going to be through Jacob. It's not going to be through Isaac. It's going to be through who? Jesus and Jesus Himself. Amen? So their response to what Jesus is saying, we've got Abraham. And let me tell you, you and I, many times, have so many responses to God that says, you know what? I'm good the way I am. I've been doing this for a while. Look at my history. Look at what I've done in the past. I'm good. But you're not liberated yet. I'm trying to give you the truth that will set you free. I'm trying to tell you you're a disciple. I'm trying to show you a life that you've never seen before. They're like, we're good. Abraham, we are the descendants of Abraham. Proverbs 23:26, it says, give me your heart, my grandson. No. It says, give me your heart, my son. And let your eyes keep my ways. In 2 Corinthians 10:15, it says, cast down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. What does that mean? It means that when something comes between that word, the written word, the word that you're listening right now, to block that from becoming a living word, that must be brought down. Even if you're connecting yourself to Abraham. Yep. Even if you're connecting yourself to the greatest ministry in Norwalk, in California, in Egypt, in wherever you're from, even if you're connecting yourself to the greatest family tree that served the Lord all of their lives, even if you're doing that, let me tell you, Lot, you guys know Lot? He was walking with Abraham for many, many years. And then when it came to choice, what did he choose? Did he choose God's way or did he choose to go to Sodom and Gomorrah? He went to Sodom and Gomorrah. When it came to Eli, the high priest, he had two kids. It doesn't get any better than this. These are the children of the high priest who are working day and night and supposedly in the presence of God. They were stealing. They were sleeping with women in the presence of, like, they were doing things that we should not even talk about in church. And it does not get any closer than that. You know why? Because they never had that personal connection with God. I'm going to keep saying this word today until you get tired of me. It has to be a personal connection with God. Not because of your daddy, not because of your mommy, not because of anyone that you're related to or any group you're part of. It does not matter. What matters is that you have your own time with God, your own testimony with God, your own revelations from God. Can we get an amen to that, please? If you want to be free today, there is only one person that can set you free, and that's the Lord Jesus Himself. Abraham is not going to set you free. David is not going to set you free. Moses is not going to set you free. Only one, and the one is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Listen, God's love is indisputably unconditional. Amen? And we all say amen to that, right? But your freedom and His blessings to your life is different. Yes, I'm saying that. Let me read this to you. In Deuteronomy 11:26, this is God speaking to His people. Are you with me? Deuteronomy, if you want to go back and read it, Deuteronomy 11:26, it says, today I am giving you a choice. You may choose the blessings or the curse. Verse 27, you will get the blessings if you listen and obey to the commands of the Lord your God that I have told you today. Verse 28, but you will get the curse if you refuse to listen and obey the commands of the Lord your God. So do not stop living the way I command you today, and don't follow other gods that you don't know. It's a choice. It's a choice. The people of Israel were given that choice. You and I are given that choice. Again, your salvation is free. Okay? Your salvation is free. God did all the work. But your liberation needs a little bit of work. It needs some choices to be made. It needs some contacts to be deleted. It needs some accountability partners that to check on your, you know, to be account for you to be accountable on your the sites you visit. It needs your relationships that you have to be reevaluated. It needs to be reevaluated. So God is after a personal relationship with you. In John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only, one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Verse 17 is very important. "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him." So, I'm not sure what it is that you're holding on to, and you think that this is your way to heaven. I'm not sure if it's Abraham. I'm not sure if it's a church. I'm not sure if it's, you know, things that you've done in the past. I don't know what it is. I don't know what you use to fight your battles, because only Jesus can help us fight our battles. Because today you have one. Tomorrow it's going to be a different one. I'll tell you guys a funny story that woke me up and made me write a note for myself. We got a dog for Gracie about four months ago, something like that. Sweetest dog ever, okay? Really, he's the sweetest dog ever. But we wanted to keep him in the kitchen and, you know, like a family room area. We didn't want him to go to the dining room because there's a plant there and he loves eating plants. So Dina, yeah, he's weird. So Dina got this gate and put it, you know, in that area so he doesn't come out. I'm like, okay, it's a little annoying, but it is a gate. It's an obstacle, whatever. So I got used to it. And day after day, I got really good at it, you know. So I would come down, you know, downstairs, go into the kitchen, and I go to the kitchen a lot, you know. So I would go, and sometimes I would have, like, the laundry basket with me in one hand and coffee in the second half. Like, and I would just tip over it, just nice and easy. And I would, like, one time do it with the right foot, one time with the left foot, because I'm, like, you know, I'm trying to use it as something to strengthen my legs, right? I was so good at it. Like, honestly, I can just crip walk through that thing. Like I was so good at it, right? And then one day, you know, I'm trying to cross that obstacle, and I almost fell. Honestly, I almost fell and just, like, broke my neck. I was like, what a weird day, you know? Going out, same thing happened. For almost 10 days, I'm not kidding, for almost 10 days, every time I try to cross that gate, my leg catches to the gate and I almost fall. And I'm, like, really upset. I was like, today wasn't my leg day. Like, I'm okay. Like, you know? And I'm so upset. And Dean and I, like, one day, after 10 days or so, Dean and I are in the car and she goes, "Oh, by the way, do you like the new gate?" I was like, "Wait, what new gate?" She goes, "I got a new gate for Bear." I was like, "No, it's the same gate." She says, "No, it's the same color, same shape, same decorative thing, but this one is about 1 foot higher than the other one. Because the old one, the dog found a way to cross it, found a way to remove that obstacle, and here I am, because I'm so comfortable. I am so comfortable knowing what I know, doing what I do. I don't want to advance myself for a new way." You know, you and I have so many battles, you have no idea. And one of our worst habits as we fight our battles, we fight our battles with the things we know. We fight our battles instead of being on our knees before God to help us fight these battles and to find out how we can fight our battles, we go back to, we are the descendants of Abraham. We know how to do this. We got this. We got this out of control. You know, I'm good. And that's when you break your neck, like someone I know. That's when things go wrong. 10 days, and I did not find out. I did not discover. That night, after she said that, I sent a note to myself, "New day, new season, new battle, you idiot." It's on my notes. I can show it to you. Because I was so humiliated. Like, really. Like, I don't take these things easily. It gets to me. But that's what we do when we use the old stuff, when we use the same thing over and over and over, if you want to be liberated today, in Jesus' name, and you will be, take every battle to God. Take every obstacle to God and say, how am I going to cross this? How am I going to do this? And that goes back to what? To disciple, being a disciple. If you go back, I'm running out of time. I actually ran out of time. But if you go back to the life of Abraham, you would see exactly what Jesus was saying in these verses. He said, I want you to walk with me. Okay? I want you to go where I tell you to go. I want you to leave your land and this and this and this. It's exactly the same words that Jesus are telling them right here, how to become a disciple. Abraham was a disciple because before a disciple was cool. Really, he was a disciple of God, of Jesus, before the word disciple was ever known. If you want to do the work of Abraham, if you want to trust God, leave everything behind and go, you've got to be a disciple. If you want to fight the same battles that Abraham fought, when he fought, like, I don't know, five kings or whatever, to liberate his nephew, you've got to be a disciple. If you want to say no to the king of Sodom and Gomorrah when he's giving you gifts, when the world is giving you gifts and giving you things, you know what? You've got to be a disciple. When you want to put your Isaac on the altar and say, Lord, you are more than enough for me, you've got to be what? You've got to be a disciple. And then they said, five more minutes? We're good? Five more minutes? Okay. I'm actually asking. And then they said, we are the descendants of Abraham. We have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean you will set us free? I'm not going to comment much because Jesus also didn't comment much on their first thing about, you know, we've never been slaves to anyone, because that's not true. They've been slaved to the Egyptians. They've been slaved to the Babylonians. They've been slaved to neighboring countries. But I have to get it, you know, I have to put it there, just, you know, just in case. And they're, at the moment, they were slaves to the Romans, right? See, the enemy is so good, really, so good, at giving you the illusion of freedom. But you're not actually free. And that's what Jesus wanted to get to. And I need someone to help me with an illustration. Someone who loves candy. Who loves candy here? I mean, let me show you the candy first. Maybe that will encourage you. There is a lot of good candy here. Who loves candy here? I need someone who loves candy. Sonny, do you like candy? I know you love candy. Anyone here? Anyone who loves candy? Here? You love candy? Hey! We got a volunteer. Okay. So, this is, you like this candy?
Okay.
Okay, so you like this. Okay, great. All right. So, this is a sugar-free chocolate. It tastes horrible. This is sugar-free mint. That's what I have every day. Also tastes horrible. Okay? All right. So, Amy, can you do me a favor? Can you give this to someone in the back? Thank you, Amy. She also goes by Mia, if you want to, you know. All right. You guys know what this is? This is a resistant band, but like kind of really cool resistant band. I used to put this around Elijah, and he would run, and I would run after him. And my job was to, like, you know, pull him back so he can, you know. So here's what we're going to do. Come on over here. And try not to embarrass me, okay? This is illustration for the glory of God. Okay, so here's what we're going to do, guys. Can you put this around your waist? And make it tight. So we're going to act like Peter can never get out of this, right? Like this is, okay? So here's what we're going to do. Can you hold this for me? Can you hold this for me? Thank you. Sorry. Okay, so Peter, I'm going to tell you something. You are free. So you said you like the bag of candy more than these? I didn't ask you. Which one do you like more? The bag of candy or these sugar-free stuff?
The bag of candy.
All right, great. So Peter, you are free to go take that candy from Dahlia. No, that's fine. You can go.
Oh,
okay. Yeah, you're good.
Oh, good.
Yeah, you're good. And you are free to go to Pastor Albert and get that from him. Okay, but you wanted the big bag of candy, right?
I did, yeah.
All right, someone can help me because that guy, that boy is going fast. All right, why don't you go try to take that candy, and I'm going to try to do my best to hold you down. It's all the way in the back.
Is it? No way!
All right, Peter, thank you so much. So, Peter heard the word free a few times from me today, right?
I wasn't trying, by the way.
So, Peter heard the word free. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And that was my goal. My goal was to let him... Thank you, Peter. Can we give him a hand, please? And by the way, that bag of candy is all yours. So, yes, it's all yours. Peter heard the word free from me several times today. As you and I hear that word several times, you are free to do this. We live in the land of the free and the home of the braves, which we do. But slavery is not just... I can't even breathe, Peter. Thank you. Slavery is not just the bondage that you see with your own eyes. Slavery is much deeper than that. Slavery, when the enemy has control over something in your life, most likely it's something that's not seen. It comes out later, sooner or later. It does come out, but he does his best to give you the illusion that you're free. You're free to go get whatever he wants you to take. You're free to go get that sugar-free candy. But the thing that you really want, that's far from you, that could take you a second or two to get there, he's holding you down from it. You think you're free because you can move around within 4 to 5 feet. And look at me, I'm free. Look at me, I'm free. But in reality, there is something that is much deeper that is holding you down. I'm going to ask, and you don't have to raise your hand. This one, you really don't have to raise your hand. Think to yourself of something that you said, I'm going to stop this. Between you and God, think of something that you told yourself several times, I'm going to stop this. And you get up and you find yourself doing it again and again and again. I'm not trying to bring you bad news today. I'm actually bringing you good news. But for us to get the good news is we have to know that we are slaves to certain things. And Jesus said that to them. You need my freedom. You need my freedom. You need my help. I was going to ask Pastor Al to untie this thing for him so he can go get the candy, but we're running out of time. But Jesus is telling them, and I want you to highlight that in your Bibles. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. That's the problem. The problem is sin. And someone has to come to eliminate sin. Someone has to come and hold your hand and walk you to not commit the same sins over and over and over. Paul, the Apostle Paul, he says, I get up, I want to do well. Every morning, I put in my heart, I want to do well. But then I find myself doing what? Bad. And then at the end of the verse, it says, but thank God through Jesus Christ. If you want your liberation today, it's going to come from one source and one source only. If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. So what? Remember the first a few verses ago, it says, if you remain in my teaching, if you remain in the, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And then now it's telling us that if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. This is when the Word of God becomes, and the Word, big W, you know, become in you. This is when you're remaining in the teaching of God. This is why we don't have that liberation. Somebody has got to tell us about our spiritual Juneteenth. Somebody has got to put on that soldier's uniform today. After you receive your freedom, we've got to go out and tell some people who are still under that bondage that you are free, that you are a disciple of the one and only Lord and Savior. Somebody is going to tell someone that we need to remain in his truth. Somebody is going to tell someone that our connection to the past, no matter how great it is, it's not going to help us have liberty for the future. Amen? Let's pray together. You don't want to be one of those slaves and stay in bondage for so long. The presidential order, the heavenly order has been already given that you are free today. That you are free, and you are free indeed, because the one who freed you is the Son. The one who paid the price for everything you owed is the Son. The one who can walk you through this life as a free man, as a free woman, is the Son. What are you connecting yourself to? What are you attaching yourself to that's keeping you from experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit? Even if it's a good thing, it does not matter. Nothing should be lifted, nothing should be raised to block the knowledge of God, to the work of God, the experience of God. God wants to free some soldiers today. God wants to set you free today. Remember, his two agendas today were to set you free and that you would join his army, that you would join his army to go out and help set others free today. No matter how this world, no matter how they say it to you, no matter what's giving to you, when they tell you you're free, this is an illusion that you're free. It's nothing but an illusion. But if you want to be free indeed, if you want to be truly, truly, truly free, let the Son do his work. Get in his word. Surrender yourself today. Surrender yourself today. I'm not asking you to commit yourself today. I'm not asking you to commit yourself. Let me make that clear. I'm not asking you to commit yourself. I'm asking you to surrender yourself to God and let him lift you up. Let his power, let his work in you. You are called a disciple. You are called a warrior. You are called one of God's masterpieces. You're not here to be on the sideline as a cheerleader or as a witness or just as someone who's watching. You are here to be in the game. You are here, and the game plan includes you. The game plan includes you. Let me say that one more time. The game plan includes you. So if you're not on the field, if you're not on the court, if you're not with your brothers and sisters helping, guess what? You're giving the enemy advantage over the kingdom of God. I know you're tired. I know you received your salvation, but you have yet to receive your liberation. Today is your day. Today is your day. And I know also you've heard that before, but today we're going to work. We're going to work. Take a couple of minutes and bring before God everything that's standing in your way. Tell him, Lord, forgive me for being a Christian for so long and not being a disciple. Lord, forgive me for just watching from far away and not getting my hands in the work. Lord, forgive me for not being faithful to your word. And I was just happy with a couple of minutes every week. I need to get in your word. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for ignoring the truth, believing whatever the world gives me, whatever social media gives me. And I'm not receiving the truth from you. You said you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So I want to know your truth today. And I want your freedom today. May God bring every high thing in your life that's stopping the word of God to coming to you down today in Jesus' name. May God liberate you today from every shackles that are tied around you, around your life that's keeping you from reaching your full potential. And making you settle for the least. You don't need to settle. You do not need to settle. You were created for a great purpose. You were created for an amazing purpose. His word says that I know the plans I have for you. They're great plans. Because a great God can only create people with great plans. He's not, trust me, he's not going to go cheap on you. He's going all out on you. He's going all out. The things that he wants to give you, the things that he wants to do through your life, you can never think or imagine. Just give it to him.